Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Today on the Zabecast, the meaningless popcorn farts of off-season NFL OTAs are being dutifully smelt and analyzed and reported upon by legions of NFL sports writers. I wonder, there must be a better way, right? A self-scouting deep dive has revealed my own Aikman-like jobs report. Can I iron it out to avoid being ridiculed myself? All that plus, put it right there on the kisser. Your 30-minute Zabe Express is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, May 24, 2023. Thank you for downloading. Appreciate everybody listening. I have too much material tonight, so let's get right to it. It's just you and I. I am watching right now the Celtics and the Heat. Game 4, Heat are starting to pull away in the third quarter. I'll keep you posted as the podcast goes on. Actually, I doubt that. We could be looking, by the way, at a quad sweep situation because last I checked, the Vegas Golden Knights were up 4-0 on Dallas to go up 3-0 there. Florida is already up 3-0 against Carolina. We'll be totally dark over the weekend. If this is the case, I think the Stanley Cup Finals begin June 3rd, and that would be Saturday or Sunday. That'd be Saturday, I believe. June 3rd was the date. NBA Finals don't begin until June 1st, no matter what happens tonight with the Celtics and the Heat. So we'll be twiddling our thumbs for about a week, but I'm sure there'll be stuff to talk about. Like football, that doesn't really matter right now, but there are paid men reporting on it and paid women reporting on football. Little tiny nuances of just little practices, not even that, workouts and shorts and no helmets, maybe helmets. Jordan Love got in some little limited work at Packers camp, and the usual reporters are there to chronicle his first offseason workout as QB1. And according to Rob Domofsky, after a slow start, Jordan Love was effective in the short red zone from the 10 and in with 3 touchdowns. Overall, in the first open OTA and second of the week, he was 6 for 16. He had 3 tipped or batted down, 1 dropped, and 1 nearly picked off. We'll hear from him soon. Rob is just doing his job, and there are about 6 or 7 or 8 or maybe 9 other men and women doing exactly the same thing. And I wonder, Does it ever get to these guys? In fact, I might have to ask him next time I have this summer training camp. I'll ask him over a beer or a bourbon. Does it kind of make you stop and go, what am I doing with my life? I know I like being a sports writer. I know I'm good at it. I know that this is part of the job. I know that this shit is irrelevant. But they keep saying, well, my assignment editor says there's a demand to know. How'd Jordan Love do in this OTA? How'd he do? People want it. They'll eat it up. We know the metrics. We look at the clicks. We watch the page views. We got a report on it. You'd think they would all get together and go, look, none of this shit matters. It's not even real practice football, much less football. And we're all spending money to pay you and you and you and you and you and you to cover this shit. Let's pool it, have one person do it. And then the rest of us can go on vacation until the start of training camp in late July. Wouldn't that be good? But for the record, this is the way the NFL works. Meanwhile, in New York or Jersey, Diana Rossini reports on the Aaron Rodgers situation, as they are still in a full honeymoon period there, spoke to multiple Jets players and coaches about the impact of Aaron Rodgers. One, the standard has been raised. Two, the little details are significant to Rodgers. Three, everyone is being held accountable in meetings and on the field. Shouldn't you have been doing that anyway? Everyone is being held. I said that already. Rodgers has a lot of say. I hope so. He's all in all caps, and trust is building. Well, isn't that notable? You don't say. God, I love June football in the NFL. Mailbag time. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. I appreciate any and all feedback. This one from Mike Van Horn in Sydney, Ohio. Do we need a Zabe's jobs report? Question mark. You know, Zabe, teams self-scout themselves for a reason. It reveals tendencies and holes in their game. If the 1988 Oakland A's had done a better job of this, they would have realized that Dennis Eckersley threw 3-2 count backdoor sliders to left-handed hitters in an inordinately high percentage of at-bats. Dodger scout Mel Didier noted this in his report before the series. Kirk Gibson paid attention, and the rest is history. That said, you'll see what I just did there. I've done a bit of unintended scouting for Team Zabe. You're using the words "that said" to begin a significant and ever-increasing number of your sentences. Oh boy. It's become more and more noticeable over the last 6 months or so. Just today, for example, you sprinkled in three of these in a 4 or 5 minute stretch when discussing Michael Block's run at the PGA Championship. I too can simply not hear it anymore. I have no desire to start the "that said" version of the Troy Aikman jobs report, just saying, but I will if I have to. P.S. A couple months ago, I wondered in an email to you if Josh took heat for pronouncing Brewers. Yes, that was me. Like most listeners, I'm not looking to be picky. It's just that I listen to your morning show and podcast daily. The constant flow of Zabe formation registers in our brains in funny ways. That said, writes Mike Van Horn, just a note from a big fan. Keep plugging away. Don't throw the backdoor slider on every 3-2 count. Thank you. You know what, Mike? You are 1,000% right. There are crutch phrases that we as broadcasters work hard, or at least the good ones do, work hard to overcome and to iron out of our delivery and our sort of style. Bad communicators, bad broadcasters, bad podcasters, and I've listened to more than a few, use all the crutches. And the worst two are "like" and "you know." You know, like, and then we went out to dinner, you know, like, and then we had the chicken, like, and you know how sometimes you say, well, like that time we did. It's almost like it's almost as if you should put up a sign on little 3x5 note cards, like, and you know. And that way, visually, you're reminded of, say anything but those two words. I probably have been working in the that said too much. I also get out of practice in doing these monologue style podcasts because I'm usually with a second guest. This week, because of a variety of reasons, I just haven't scheduled anybody. And I've kind of felt like, yeah, you know what? Let me handle a couple of these myself. If I can't handle my own podcast, for God's sakes, and make it interesting, then what are we even doing here, as the saying goes? But I always appreciate somebody who is paying close enough attention to be very nitpicky and to observe things and hear things and go, did you just say this? The Josh Brewers, that's a dialect thing. That's a Milwaukee thing. That's a kid who grew up in West Dallas, in the dirty, dirty Stallus, which I'm apparently not allowed to say because I'm not from West Dallas. Another email, this one from Jay Evans. Punters and kickers taken in the same draft. Zabe, I was listening to the May 4 edition of the Zabecast, and you and my favorite co-host, J-A-Y, missed the most famous punter-kicker combo selected by a single team in one draft ever. It was the Oakland Raiders in 2000. They took the Polish cannon Sebastian Janikowski in the first round, and they took Shane Lechler, punter, in the sincerely, Jay Evans. Yes, that's not optimal drafting. It just isn't. The difference in the best punter and the best kicker versus the worst or league average or replacement level punter or kicker, from a statistical, actual analytic standpoint, is not enough. From an anecdotal standpoint, you think, oh, Justin Tucker is such a huge weapon. I really wish we had him. And don't we all? But it doesn't mean statistically you're really gaining that much on the rest of the league. This one from Jason Bailey. Regarding Jimmy Butler, Zabe, I too was yesterday years old when I learned about the Jimmy Butler story from you. And damn it, you now made me do some internet research, so thanks for that. I am the super casual NBA fan. I usually tune into games 4 through 7, if they occur in the NBA Finals. Well, game 4 does at least. Normally, I could not pick Butler out of the Osmond family photo. That's a Zabe original. After reading about Butler's story, I want to root for him. Easier to root for a guy like that than the global icon, right? Is Butler worthy of a little fandom, or does he have some built-in jackassery that I should be weary or aware of? I don't think so. I think Jimmy Butler has a bit of an edge to him, but I wouldn't call it jackassery. He famously screamed in the tunnel once after beating Philadelphia, the team that traded him away. And you wanted to keep so-and-so instead of me. And the name of the player, because I'm now starting to choke on it, escapes me. I only have regurgitated and remembered tens and twenties of thousands of names and players throughout the years. And right now you're screaming at your radio as you listen to this podcast going, how does he not remember who the Sixers traded Jimmy Butler away for? Or at least kept instead of... They kept a player and said, we don't need Jimmy Butler anymore. We got somebody else. See, this is why the internet is both great and it's also the worst. Jimmy Butler mad about Sixers keeping other player. I guess that's the way to search for it. Yes, there you go. Jimmy Butler lets the Sixers know they picked the wrong player. Long story. Got to read this. Come on here. Okay, hold on. Back to the results page. Should be somewhere in there. Should be some... Tobias Harris, that's who it is. God darn it, I knew it. Knew that. Should have had that right away. I don't think there's any jackassery that I know of with Jimmy Butler. I just think he has got an edge. He talks a little bit of smack in the right appropriate ways, has never in the media come off as a guy you'd roll your eyes at, and I'm unaware. But I may have forgotten, like I forgot Tobias Harris. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This is from Alex Berenson from his newsletter, Unreported Truths, or his Substack, Unreported Truths. Alex Berenson was the most famous contrarian to the entire pandemic and was vilified for it, both in terms of what governments were doing in a frantic and misguided and never before done effort to contain the spread of the virus. It couldn't be contained, and it wasn't contained. And then he was the first one on the whole, hey, I don't think these vaccines actually work. You know what I'm saying? He also has been reporting diligently on the danger profile, the risk profile of the vaccines for certain subgroups of people, especially men under age, I think, 25. Teenage and young 20s men have a much higher risk of myocarditis and other heart problems with the vaccine. Well, this story from his Substack is something else. Actually, good news. It's good news after horrific news, if you think about it. Yulia Hicks is a 14-year-old North Carolina girl who was denied a life-saving kidney transplant because she was unvaccinated. This wasn't 2.5 years ago at the peak of vaccine mania. No, this was just recently. No, I'm sorry. We can't save your life. You have not had the vaccine. But I've already had COVID. Yeah, no, sorry. We can't. The transplant surgeons at Duke University Hospital told her parents that she could not stay on the transplant list if she did not have a COVID shot, even though she had already had the actual illness and survived easily. Even with the need for a new kidney, she survived COVID easily. The story was picked up by news outlets, including Fox, led to a wave of publicity. More than 30 potential donors stepped forward. Fortunately, one was a match. Now another North Carolina hospital has stepped up, and Yulia will receive her new kidney from a live donor tomorrow. Young Yulia came from the Ukraine to the U.S. in December of 2018. You'd think that being a Ukrainian, she would go to the front of the line. She was given up by her first two adoptive families before the family that adopted her took her in permanently. She suffers from senior Loken syndrome, a genetic condition that damages her kidneys and her eyes. But she remains optimistic, and her mother said she is hopeful in the wake of this transplant in an email. How do surgeons, people of science, do this? And why does not at least one of them step forward and go, this is bonkers. This is the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing as doctors. What are we doing here? But they don't, because they're all bought in, they're all bought off, and they're all afraid of losing their license. Let's change the subject to something more fun. Jeff Bezos is getting married again. Mazel, mazel. He's engaged to Lauren Sanchez after nearly 5 years together, and this after his split from his first wife, who got the biggest sum of money, I believe, in the history of divorces. That'd be Mackenzie Bezos. The two have been inseparable since the news broke that they were a couple following the separation of Bezos and his now former wife. And rumors have been swirling for months that the pair are set to be wed. How big does that ring have to be exactly? Does it have to be larger than one of her absolutely buxom and busting and bulbous and beautiful boobies? May or may not be real, I doubt it, but still, Jeff Bezos. I'd like to see the prenup on that one. You got a prenup, right, Jeff? What, it's love? You don't need a I'd get a prenup if I were you. Just saying. Dateline, the unfriendly skies. Airline passenger arrested after hitting employee with intercom phone on airplane. Just grab it off the wall. Wham! Almost like a wrestling match where you can use any implement you grab. Chairs, the ring bell. You can pinfall anywhere in the arena. You go up into the concourse, out into the parking lot. I'll let you guess which airline this was. And I'm not going to let you, you know, I'll give you three. What? Yeah, Frontier. Frontier. How'd you guess? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're aware of Frontier. Could have been Spirit. Could have been Spirit. But you guessed Frontier, and you were right. Carmelo Anthony has retired from the NBA after 19 seasons. Says his legacy is not basketball, but instead his son. 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA selection. A great scoring forward. Slash guard, depending on where you played him. A guy who did not like to pass the ball. He retires as the number 9 scorer in NBA league history. And for many, many years, many basketball purists would yell at me about how great Carmelo Anthony was. And I would always say, I don't know if I ever see him make anyone else good around him. For as great as he is, it just seems like he's great at scoring. He's great at being Carmelo Anthony. He's great at getting shots up and telling everyone else, I got this. Not a bad guy per se, although he was in that unfortunate video, Stop Snitching, when he was, I believe, in high school coming out of Baltimore. But he was always a guy that I said, eh, you can have him. I mean, good player, good scorer, you can have him. Defense, no. They did not play defense. Dateline Vegas, Tom Brady agrees to buy minority stake in the Raiders. The biggest indication that Brady is serious about remaining retired this time around arrived on Monday by that minority share of the Vegas Raiders going to Brady. He's agreed to and submitted to the NFL for approval. Albert Breer adds the transaction won't become official during the ongoing springtime league meetings, but said that the ball is rolling on it. He's a limited partner of the Raiders. Who knows how much of his own money he has in there? He also bought an ownership stake in the Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA in March. Why would you invest in a WNBA team? The WNBA does not make money. It's bankrolled by the NBA. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, mentioned how the alleged plan last year was for Brady to become a limited partner with the Miami Dolphins en route to eventually playing quarterback for that organization. While Florio suggested that Brady will now only be able to return to playing to the playing field with the Raiders if he wishes to unretire at any point, the franchise signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a 3-year contract that could be worth up to $72 million guaranteed in March. With $33 million guaranteed in March. So the Garoppolo deal could be worth up to $72 million with $33 million guaranteed. Brady has repeatedly declined to confirm this offseason he's 100% committed to staying retired and is taking at least one gap year away from the league before he becomes the lead analyst for Fox on a 10-year, $375 million deal that reports are now saying he may walk away from, which blows my mind. Will he have to give up his minority stake? Will he have to put it in a trust? How does that work? What's the paperwork? I don't know. All I know is he doesn't feel retired to me. And can you imagine being Garoppolo, who had to sit behind Brady all this time? Now he has to look up into the owner's suite and go, son of a bitch, look at him. He's circling me like a vulture waiting for me to get hurt or start sucking. Shopping, Dateline Shopping. Here's a consumer story to help you out. You ready? Quote, ask yourself these three questions to avoid regretting a purchase. Well, wait a minute. I already regret the purchase. I just made it. I regret it. I'm now going to return it. Things like, where will I store this thing? How will I clean this thing? What will I do with this thing when I'm done with it? No, those are all great questions. And if you answer them honestly, you're likely to go, okay, unclick, take out of cart, delete cookies, remove website from browser, never go on this site again. Dateline Economics. Headline, inflation to remain high for 2023. Well, no shit. I was told by the brightest minds running the country, now that, quote, the adults are back in charge, unquote, that the inflation that spiked right after the government pushed all this money out of the back of a C-130 onto Americans' heads, going, here, it's free money! Have it! The printing machine for money goes, brrrr. I was told that inflation was transitory. Janet Yellen told me that. She's smart, right? Dateline Facebook. This is why I barely use it. I have a Facebook page. It's only to keep in touch loosely with the Sunburn Bowl group from 97.3 The Game. Otherwise, I cannot stand it. Facebook is just too complicated. Too many things to weed through. Deny friend request. Deny. Settings. Privacy. This. Click, clack. And the way it displays is just unaesthetic in my mind. Ugh. But here's another reason. Facebook glitch. Whoops. Sent unintended friend requests to profiles. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, says it's now fixed a bug that was sending automatic friend requests when users visited profile, when users merely visited profiles of other people through the app, which was bad news for anyone covertly visiting others' profiles to try to snoop on them. Yeah, I would say so. That's probably the case. Another reason why, all these websites, the algorithm is spying on you. I get that. I think Facebook is probably worse than others. Dateline, your lips. What? I don't get a kiss? Paige Spiranak said that she didn't like the fact that when Michael Block greeted his loving wife, who was reduced to a puddle of tears, shaking like a leaf with joy and amazement at his incredible run at the PGA Championship, went up to give him a giant arms around the neck, hug and kiss. Her man turned his face slightly away and gave her a hug instead of a kiss. Said Ms. Spiranak, quote, I'm just saying, if I'm on camera and I'm going up to my man and I'm going in for a hug and I'm putting my head up going for a kiss and he just denies me a kiss in front of all these people on camera, I'd be bringing it up later. Not just later that day, but every single day for the rest of our lives until we die. We'd be laying next to each other on our deathbeds and I'd say, remember when you didn't kiss me on camera? In fact, that'd be the last thing I'd ever say. Well, what a surprise that Ms. Spiranak is divorced and currently not with a boyfriend, or at least not one that we have seen publicly. It's interesting there. On the live front, echoes of the Chambly Brad Faxon spat on the Golf Channel. Brooks Koepka's coach, Claude Harmon III, unloaded on Chambly and on Eamon Lynch of Golf world by saying, quote, Brandel is a paid actor by NBC and Golf Channel. All he's trying to do is get his lines and shows for the Golf Channel. He's trying to get lines for Brandel, and I mean, I love him, but I think Eamon is a fantastic writer. But for Eamon Lynch and Brandel Chamblee, who worked for NBC Golf, to utter the word sports washing when the company they worked for televised the last two Winter Olympics in Russia and China with the same leaders that they've had. It's not like they were good leaders back then. It's not like Putin was a good guy, right? Yeah, he's right. Boom, roasted. To sum it up, I always thought that Chamblee with the whole righteous angle on the being anti-live was the weakest of the arguments against the tour. Phil Mickelson tweets, love, live, or hate it, it's the best way and best tour to be your best in the majors. Enough events to keep you sharp, fresh, and ready, yet not be worn down from too many tournaments or obligations. 14 live events, 34 weeks left open to prepare for the four majors. Fact. If I'm not mistaken, you could play a 14-event schedule on the PGA Tour and be fully eligible. I think that was around the minimum number of tour events. It was kind of what Tiger would play every year himself. Plus, it's spread out over 9 months, for God's sakes. What Mickelson conveniently leaves out is that, well, it's the best tour for him and for others who already have a bunch of majors in their pockets because they're exempt into a lot of majors. This tour, which is 48 players, of which there's about a dozen really good players, and then a whole bunch of just field fillers. This tour, the LIV Tour, gets to dodge the 100, 150, 200 really good players. Screamingly good players, with more coming every year through college, through the amateur ranks, on up into the pros, getting their tour cards. They get to avoid all that and kind of side door their way into majors if you're exempt. So in that regard, sure, it's a great tour if you've got the exemptions to skate by. Dateline Media writes, have you seen the Pac-12 situation? Oh, they are in a bad spot right now. Basically, no major television network, no streaming entity wants their games. Now that USC and UCLA have signaled they're leaving after this year, I think it's after this year, the Pac-12 is sadly pretty much a ghost ship floating on the ocean of college athletics. And Larry Scott, easily the worst commissioner in my lifetime of any major college conference, maybe the worst commissioner if you broaden it out beyond that, has left behind, now that he is out as commissioner of the Pac-12, he's left behind unpleasant Easter eggs and turd sandwiches all over the place, buried in file cabinets, in drawers, under the rug, in the ceiling. Every day they find something else. They're like, what's this all about? Larry Scott apparently overpaid Comcast $50 million. He apparently had a $10 million expense on the old lease. Said one AD in the conference, we're basically turning over rocks these days and finding disasters Larry left for us every step of the way. Well, yeah. And that's the way it works in sports. Sometimes you get incompetent people who rise to levels that makes you say, how did this guy or gal get this job? And the answer is, they look good in a suit and tie. They know the lingo, the jargon, and they play the game. And next thing you know, they're climbing the ladder. And someone says, you know, Larry Scott, he's a sharp guy. Seems to really know what's going on. And he looks great in a suit, doesn't he? He's been in the conference a long time. He's had this job, this job, this job. Let's make him the commissioner. What do you think? I believe Larry Scott voted himself a raise at one point that was outrageous and borderline illegal, at least according to the conference bylaws. But oh well, good luck Pac-12. And I wouldn't mind having your games on TV because I still like Pac-12 After Dark. I love the fact the officials are so fucking incompetent in that league. You never know what you're going to get watching a Pac-12 football game late at night on a Saturday in the fall. Chances are you're going to get mayhem and bad calls. One last thing before I let you go. I'm going to watch myself some Max tonight. That's right. Going to curl up with the Max and call it an... What, you don't know what the Max is? That's what HBO Max used to be. It is now called Max, the place to watch HBO. Okay. Used to just be HBO Plus, I think. Then it became HBO Max. Now they've changed it a third time to just Max, the place to watch HBO. I think that's because they added some content from another major studio. Don't quote me on which. And so it's not technically only HBO. It's HBO plus some other stuff. But enough of this name-changing shit, okay? When is the streaming world ever going to settle down where we know who has what? We got a price for each of the services, and the price does not go up more than 3% a year. Maybe a buck at most. Can we get to that spot, please? Since I'm this close to cutting the cable myself and joining streaming world. All right, that's a wrap for today. As always, I appreciate everybody who subscribes and listens and at times holds me to impossible standards. It's okay. I will strive to meet your impossible standards, and maybe some shows exceed them briefly and touch the sun before falling back to earth. It'll only make me a better podcaster, a better broadcaster, a better human, I'd say, in the long run. That's a wrap today. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a grand Wednesday, and we'll get a guest tomorrow. Don't know who. Jay? Charch? Do you miss Andy? Do you want me to bring Mr. X on? Who else? I know, everyone's asking for Ron Thomas. I saw Ron this weekend in Pinehurst. He's doing great. He has no interest in being on the podcast, not because he doesn't like me. He just likes being a private person again, and I don't blame him. I'll figure it out. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.